My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray. O Lord God of our Epiphany, hearts, minds, spirits, and souls, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Most of you know that Kate is the love of my life and my wife that you met on Christmas Eve. And many of you know that I had been married before to Debbie, who had a number of health issues during the time of our marriage. A brain aneurysm, two heart attacks, and a stroke before they found a tumor as they were trying to figure out a reason for her neuropathy, which was not entirely consistent with her stroke. But it was a tumor that they called spiculated, which means it wasn't round and smooth in nature. That night in the ER, the neurologist who appeared delivered the news that it was probably cancer. The big C, as we knew it in her family, frightened me. Driving home, I called a friend who knew of these things, and she patiently walked me through the worst-case scenario. Debbie would get sicker and sicker and need help doing things one would never want or imagine having to do because it seems too embarrassing or intimate. But we can get beyond that. I'd do the things such that they would become routine, and we'd find moments of macabre humor. She might die. And if that happened, my friend finished, I would become part of the club to which no one wanted membership. I think of my friend's statement that there's this vast network of people whose loved ones have died, a tribe of sorts that exists that I probably would join. We don't aspire to it. It's just a matter of simple fact. There's a band of people with a shared experience all around me. And now I know too what they know. And I'm one of them. In our longest night service this year, we spoke about how we are so dependent upon relationships. Those we wanted, those we didn't, those we have and flourished, and those that we've lost to no fault of our own, but they're gone nonetheless. We're constantly seeing people move in, around, and through our lives, and we included in that our relationship with God, the one who we trust, the one who we blame, the one to whom we cry, the one who restores, the one who overlays so many of us here. Sometimes I wonder, what are the networks of the people I pass by each day? People run marathons or write poetry and songs or taught someone else to drive or people who donated blood yesterday or know someone who has an eating disorder or has a friend whose anxiety just cannot be soothed. What is that network like? Ralph Waldo Emerson, in his essay Friendship, says, "The heart knoweth." And he describes a language of wandering eye beams among people who silently nod to one another in some sort of shared experience. Relationships can be spoken as well as unspoken. One of my esteemed clergy friends was speaking at last year's Festival of Homiletics, and he nailed it when he said, "In baptism, we become part of a people." Each January that the lectionary offers us the baptism of Christ and invites us to remember the network that we hold in common. A people who believe that when the heavens open at the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, God is doing something new. God already split the waters of the Red Sea with Moses. We remember when the Jordan River also split open, right? Who did that? Okay, I'll help us out. It was Joshua, Elijah, and Elisha. But by splitting open the heavens, God gets us to go way back to the beginning of the earth, when it was separated into day and night. God split the heavens and the earth into the firmament above and the sea below, back to that originality, and laying claim to Jesus within that. In the rite of baptism, that same elemental water touches us and initiates us into the tribe of people who believe in Jesus' Messiahship. We're part of a relationship, one that engages our entire being. And we're part of a club that is both spoken and unspoken. By going back that far, God invites us into this confessional collective, into what we show up with every day. But what does that really mean? It's a worthy question. But we need to ask it each year. And I believe particularly in this year. In any given year, people will become graduates, or parents, or spouses, or champions, or lost, or displaced, or widows, or widowers. This year, many became, for the first time, protesters, questioners, as the world, as we explained it to them, made absolutely no sense. This was a year of awakenings for so many. We have circled around yet again to ask whether healthcare, education, clean water, sustainable earth, racial equality, and trust in first responders are goods that we hold dear. We've begun to ask whether affordable childcare and sexual consent and addiction treatment and economic equality and careful control of powerful weapons are also goods that we also ought to hold dear, dear enough to put money and policy behind them. We're connected as a people who say one thing. But in the name of God, we say one thing, but often do things in the name of God that God might have nothing to do with at all. As you think about that, I want to leave you with these final thoughts. We all have a prophetess in our lives who can foreshadow the future, who can see God. We talked about this last week. Who are the Annas in our lives? For it is in that both unexpected and surprising, spoken and unspoken, warp and weft in our lives that we navigate. And we're closer than we think we are to one another. The club to which you don't seek membership is often just around the corner when you join the club that you want. Being baptized as a people in this moment means we are invited to think of our collective confession, as every age before us has done, yet also uniquely in this moment. Create in me a clean heart, O God. What will our resolutions for this year ahead be, as the covenanted relationship community of the baptized, those identifiable to one another as people who believe that God did a new thing in Jesus? Will we finally live out mercy, kindness, compassion, charity, hope, and love? Or will we be too frightened to speak up and act up because life in God belongs only on our lips and not on our hearts? The choice is always ours. Thanks be to God. Amen.